Welcome, y'all! That's right. This is the Pre-Game Engineer Tailgamer Racing Podcast, episode number 107. It's Saturday, July 29th, 2017. I'm Tailgate Mayor Rusty Wallace, and I'm joining the PTM Podcast Studio with Pre-Game Engineer Andrew Sherwin. What's up, dude?
Right over here. We're on a Saturday again. We haven't done too many Saturday shows except for when we're in the campgrounds at races.
Yeah, so this
Saturday shows are fun.
Oh, it's a huge deal to do this on Saturday right after the race. I got so excited, I didn't even do the intro. Like the big intro.
Oh, you forgot the Patreon intro.
I forgot the Patreon intro. And you know what? We have a new patron, so I might as well do it. So y'all bear with me.
Here we go.
Bear with me for 1 moment. You know what? I'm going to do it with Sydney Lett in the background. I'm bringing it right back up. Here we go. All right, clear the throat. Here we go, y'all. The PETM Podcast is sponsored by you. That's right. Go to patreon.com/PETM. Join the What You Drinking Club for as little as $1 a month. Get your free koozie. Best part is every cent in 2017 is donated to sponsoring drivers. So join the PETM posse today and be a part of the sport you love. This week's show is brought to you by our official sponsors at the $5 and up per month level. Catherine Gingston, Ashley Stang, Jeffrey Whitler, Mark Wiley, Craig Smulders, Rick Hampshire, Lori Sutton, Mick Rose, Tony Saul, Colby McClam, Eric Kevin, Ryan Kiefer, Maryland Best, Patrick Cleary, Jeff Brown, Harry Balzania, and Robert Keplinger. Hey, and we also want to welcome our new patron, Sherwin, Nate Dunham. How about that?
Awesome. Welcome.
So welcome to the PTM Posse, Nate. And let's do this.
Yeah. Well, do we remember how to do this? Because we didn't even have to intro the last one.
You know what's funny is, I don't know, a lot of people like, and there's nothing wrong with this. A lot of people record their intros like pre-record or whatever.
Oh, they drop them.
Yeah, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's, I guess either I'm lazy or I just like the part where I just mess up about half the time and it makes it funny for me.
And you put me on the spot and I'm like trying to think about what I want to say and I got nothing.
Sherwin, what's up? He's like, but you didn't do the thing.
What day is this?
Yeah, why are we doing this? Before we go crazy, because we're going to go crazy here in a bit. What are we drinking on? We've got a freaking bar here.
Yeah, so I guess
it's Saturday night.
I went to lunch with one of our patrons, Eric mm-hmm. Kepner, his father and his son, three generations of Kepners.
Awesome.
And because it's National Wing Day, uh-huh. of course we got wings at Taco Mac.
Well done.
Place. And then I went to Total Wine, great store. And on my way out, after I'd shopped a lot, my basket was getting quite heavy, as you might could imagine. I stopped a guy, because he stopped me. He said, anything I can help you with? I said, no, I'm just kind of looking for something to catch my eye. And,
yep.
and he got like 2 steps away. I said, you know what? Wait a minute. Point me to where there's some Pennsylvania beer.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, you're in luck, because I'm from Philly.
Well, booyah. Did you just come
so
off with
he marched me
guy.
Right over to the section where the Victory beer is, mm-hmm. Brewed right outside of Philadelphia, and we are drinking on a Victory Dirt Wolf Double IPA. It's delicious. It's 8.7%. It doesn't drink that way, so unfortunately, and fortunately, they're going down like Miller Lights.
Well, yeah, I told Sherwin about 20 minutes ago, I had slaughtered my beer, and I was like, how bad is this? Oh, it's 8.7. Well, Rusty's going to be drunk.
Yeah, you just had 2 Budweisers in like 11 minutes.
So that's what we're drinking. What is this thing, though? This is the... So Sherwin brought over a salted caramel bourbon barrel aged porter from Anderson Valley. It's malt beverage. It's beer. Aged 6 months in wild turkey bourbon barrels.
Well, you know me. Wild turkey will catch my eye wherever I go.
Yeah.
So the bird caught my eye first. And I looked at it and said, well, California doesn't fit.
That's right.
But wild turkey sure as hell does.
Yeah. It's episode number 107. I can't believe... I'm just going to keep saying this as if it's not a new thing every time, but why are we still doing this?
You know what?
107 times, and it still feels like number one.
Well, Ashley and Lori and JoJo are the reason why we're still doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you all for
joining us for being
on the YouTube or on the live here.
There's actually 8. There's just only been 3 of them comment.
Well, I'm glad
That's
everybody
okay,
else
though.
Is listening in, too. For car number 7 for our 107th episode, got to talk about a few folks. Robbie Gordon with the most races, 226 races.
I never would have guessed
number
that.
7. How about that, huh?
I mean, I knew he was.
Yeah. But, I mean, not only the most by like 50. Over Alan Kulwicki. Obviously, that's who you talk about when you talk about the number seven car.
Well, it's the only championship for the seven, I believe.
Yeah, 179 races, five wins, 37 top fives, etc.
The Underbird.
The Underbird. I like that.
Yeah, Kulwicki famously, you know, helped build his own cars. He was an engineer. They had an extremely small team. Them winning the 93 championship, not only was it the probably the best championship race in the history of NASCAR, but by far the biggest underdog to ever win the championship.
Yeah. Alongside that, so talking about some winners, Jeff Bodine, four wins.
Right.
Just one short of Kulwicki in 161 races. Wonder what he'd have done in another 18.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Kyle Petty has a win in the seven. How about that?
I knew that.
Did you?
I think so. Yeah, it was a Xerox-sponsored car, I believe.
Okay.
We can go back and look.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
It was like white with the number was like a faded blue and red number.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Something along those lines. I'm sure we'll get corrected on the thing.
Jim Reed, aged 91 right now.
Today.
Has won seven races in the number seven car. How about that?
There's nothing more
in
perfect
83
than that.
Starts.
Only thing more
Cheers
perfect than
Mr.
that
Jim
would be if
Reed.
Marty Robbins had won seven races in the triple right? seven.
Bob Flock, we talked about before. Four wins in 26 races, four wins. Frank Mundy, one win in five races. And Fonty Flock.
Fonty was in the seven.
Yeah, three races and a win. How about that? But that's not all. Wait, there's more.
Uh-oh.
The 07 car. Remember when Clint Boyer ran that thing?
Damn right. I got that flag.
I know you got that flag. That Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
07. Beautiful. Number
07
car. Yes, sir. 108 races, two wins with 16 top fives in that.
That's right, because one of his wins was in the DirecTV car. It was only sponsored like three races a year.
Yeah, yeah. Here's one. I had to pull up. Old Cuckoo Marlin. Sterling's daddy.
Woo! Cuckoo Marlin.
32 races in the 07 car himself. So had a top five in that thing. No wins, but had to bring that one up. Really.
Reckon you could even understand what Cuckoo says. I mean, Sterling's pretty tough. And, like, we speak South.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's like I'm fluent in Southern.
Got run over by a bug-eyed dummy.
Yep. Yep. So, there it is, y'all. The driver number seven, number 07. Sherwin, we don't have a guest this week because it's been kind of a who knows sort of week for us on all that. Where have you been?
I was in Manhattan for 5 days.
New York City.
New York City. They do not make paste picante sauce there. You know what? I had a hell of a time. And I know you were telling me that a lot, and I went in there with like sort of really open eyes about it because I knew you loved it, and I'm like, when I walked out of there, I was like, all right, the next time your lovely wife springs a spontaneous weekend of her doing her stuff.
Right.
Let's just go to New York.
Let's just go to New York and let's tear it down.
I mean, we'll just cash some miles in and go blow that place up. And not, I mean, what? Fun.
Too soon?
The fun side of that.
Right.
Not, yeah, partying.
Right.
Because there's cool stuff to do there.
Yeah. I've been saying that for a while to Sherwin. I'm like, dude, we need to get to New York. It's awesome. I don't know. Do I lose some redneck cred when I'm like, you know what? I don't even care. Maybe it's because rednecks just hadn't been in New York enough.
Yeah,
crap. Something for everybody.
Yeah, there's definitely something for everybody. And for the ladies, this applies equally. I can only speak from the man's perspective. But there are beautiful, beautiful people in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every other step.
Right.
I think that applies equally for both the ladies looking and the men looking.
Mm-hmm.
There are beautiful people in New York.
That's right. And Lori Sutton on the YouTube here. Can't believe you didn't invite me. Well, next time.
Well,
next time, join us. We'll do the PTM vacation up to New York City.
That's right.
It's going to be a blast.
Drag the posse to Manhattan.
With that, dude, I can't play this hard enough. The tearing it down. You know it's time to tear it down. And we've got some stuff.
There's really only one real thing to tear down.
We got some. Well, I don't even know when to start that. Let's back it up a second. Because we did go to Eldora Speedway.
Oh, right.
In the meantime.
Yeah, anybody.
You know what? Stall for a second. I got to get my hat.
Yeah. Anybody remember that we went to Eldora Speedway last week? I met our buddies Lap Traffic and Lori and Miss Helsius and the Twitterless, whatever his name is. Sorry, I don't remember names worth a crap. Jason, the photographer right now escapes my memory because we're in the moment, and it just traps my brain when I'm on.
That'll happen.
Mic.
That'll happen. I had to
regret
go get
not buying
my
hat.
Eldora. It says it right there. Eldora Speedway, Rossburg, Ohio hat. Boy, what?
We'll have to go back because I need that. I need a hat similar to
that.
Yeah.
We got to go back so you can get you a hat. But man, I don't even know how to describe it. So let's start at the beginning. We get on that. we kind of talked about it during the lab traffic.
We did a little
podcast.
Bit, but we didn't get to do it necessarily our way.
Right. So we get to the airport. And it's whatever in the time of the morning. It's what, 7 in the morning when 8, we get there? 8:15, whatever. And Sherwin was a little bit behind me in the security line. And he goes, all right. I said, all right, I'm going to go to the bar and, I guess, order a beer. Like, what time they start serving beer at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport?
8.
8 a.m. is the answer. So I roll up at 8:01. And can I get 2 beers? She's like, well, do you want? And I said the IPA with Goose Island, I guess, or whatever. She's like, well, do you want the 16 or the 22 ounce? I was like, and I look around like, the 22 ounce is what I want, and I want 2 of those. So, okay.
Which one of those is bigger?
Yeah.
Give me the bigger one.
And what did we do? I believe what happened was we finished that, and then I said, you know what? That's because we were shampooing hard, if y'all know what shampooing is. we had been drinking the night before. Now we're up at 6 a.m. or something.
Somebody at Eldora.
Rinse,
lather,
repeat sort of thing. So it was like halfway into that beer, we're like, okay, well then, we're drinking again. Here we go.
Excuse me, sir.
We next thing I do is, Sherwin, I'm going to order me some liquor so I can calm down, right? As if that's a good idea. She goes, well, you want a double? It's like way better price. And I'm like, well, yeah, I want a double, I guess. Jeez. And I slaughtered that thing because it just tastes like, you know, I need some sugar at this point, and I got it with a mixer of Coke or something. All right, we're ready to roll.
With
woo,
ginger, as is tradition.
The plane got delayed at that point for an hour after we walked up to the area to board the plane. I'm like, well, what do we do for an hour?
Drink we're more.
PETM podcast. We just decided to drink more.
This is what we do.
So, yeah, went to this other place near the gate or whatever and sat down there. And he said, well, all right, what do y'all have? I said, well, give me one of them Newcastles you got on tap. He goes, you want the 16 or the 22? And I guess the 22.
Yeah, give me the big one.
Yeah, just make it happen. Just keep it
I
going.
I mean, it's not.
What are you going to do at this point?
Yeah, you got to just go in at this point.
Yeah, so at that point, we promptly take a nap on the airplane and get to...
Oh, I blacked out on the airplane. Like, I remember none of that flight.
That was a great flight. It was perfect.
We took off, and then we landed.
And then it was time to drive for 2 hours. We were sober at this point, we're going to say, at least.
Was it even that? I don't even think it was that long.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, it was
we
like
were
57
out on the tarmac
miles.
For a while.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we went to the Walmart / liquor store,
mm-hmm.
and which was awfully
By the way,
convenient.
God bless Indiana for having it. At your Walmart, you walk up and you just grab liquor bottles off the shelf at Walmart and like you're buying toilet paper.
Right. It's different than down here. Okay, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
But it worked out great because it was a one-stop shop.
Yep. Yeah. So God bless the Walmart in Indiana, and God bless the Indianans. And then we got on the road, and immediately, maybe 2 miles, 3 miles outside of Fort Wayne, begins the cornfields.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, we
weren't on an interstate.
We corn mazed it.
Yeah, we were on.
At
we were
75
on,
miles an hour.
We were on farm roads.
Yeah.
Like, these are the ones that the tractors are going down
state,
and stuff.
I think we were on a U.S. route for a little while,
mm-hmm.
but we were on state roads, and it was like, I mean, I'm surprised we only saw the one tractor.
Yeah.
In reality.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just at the right time of day where they just weren't out there.
It's perfect. Hour and 20 minutes later.
Well, up north, you know, their corn they plant it later because it's colder.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not harvest time. They've already fertilized. So, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. We pop out to cornfield, and there's 8,000 campers.
Right, right.
Whoa, and I guess we're here.
We said it on the Lab Traffic podcast, but you're on the GPS, and everybody says the same. Everybody has this exact same story, because you're on the GPS. It says, you're half a mile, And you go, bull spit, Walter. Yeah, we're not spit. Half a mile. Because and evidently, my GPS just got me super lost. Because now I know I'm an hour and 20 minutes into the corn. And now I got to go find the speedway. Ain't no telling. But let's at least go the half a mile. Maybe there's a drugstore or something. They'll tell us where things are.
Right.
Well, in a quarter mile from there, like you said, it opens up and 8,000 trailers are there. And there's a speedway. And you go, this can't be. This is Field of Dreams stuff.
Yeah. There's like a sign. You can't see because Eldora's actually sunk down compared to the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of embedded in earth, like they dug it out to build it or just happened to naturally landscape that way. So you can't like see, you don't see like Atlanta Motor Speedway rising out.
Right, right. Or Bristol kind of does the same thing for when you come from
the
south.
You don't see this thing just rising up. You just see campers and you see the big E and you go, I think we're in the right spot.
Yeah, the first camper you see, oh, thank God. All right, we're here. But we pull up to the... campground there and find all our friends. Thank you everybody for hosting us there. Found the lab traffic guys. We found Lori hanging out next to everybody. What can I say? So
yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah. So I was beside myself excited because we were going to watch racing that night.
That's right.
It's like there's the racing
big
tonight.
Blocks.
Yeah. They were there's racing big. Tonight. So big blocks are running. What can I say? You walk in, and I mean, Sherman, what does it feel like to you when you walk in that first time and you see the track and the facilities?
You know what? What's really weird to me is trying to figure out how to compare it to Bristol because those feel like not congruent but comparable arenas in terms of lore.
Yeah.
And they're the same size. Obviously, they're not banked the same. But, like, you got this wooden canopy. Like, the whole front stretch grandstands is wooden bleachers. It's got a wooden canopy. You're undercover the whole time. Like, it's got this really old school. It feels like the films they did of baseball game, like, or like baseball movies from 40, 50 years ago.
Yes. That,
like, you're undercover, but you can see everything. But, like, You kind of feel like you're socked in a little bit, but you're protected. I don't know. It was just it had old school cool written all over it.
I think that is the best way to put it. When you see those baseball movies of old, and you see the, like you said, the canopy, the wooden seats, the hand painted every one of them, and you know they're hand painted because it's not like it's not even stenciled or anything.
Right.
They're just hand painted numbers.
There's none of those lines where like you see the cutouts that wouldn't fall out.
Right. Hand painted numbers on every single seat. And the food line and the beer line, y'all. The next day, here's what I did the next day, right before the truck race started, was I walked up and said, I need 6 beers, and then I need 2 Jim Beam and Cokes with a squeeze of lime. And he put the 6 beers together. He made the 2 Jim Beam and Cokes, set them on the table, and guess how much he said this is going to cost. Now, we're at this point, I'm going to call it a major sporting event.
Yes.
We're at a major...
25, 30,000 people.
There. Right. We're at a major sporting event. How much did that cost Rusty?
I'm going to guess based on some empirical evidence and then a little bit of extrapolation. Yeah. I'm going to guess that was $16.
It was $18. $18. It was $18. I mean, $16 was ridiculous because you had to be ridiculous.
Right.
But it was $18. I've paid $18 for 2 beers at a football game before.
I did that every day this past week in Manhattan.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So $18 for 6 beers with ice, by the way, and I brought their little Eldora cooler back to them that we got the day before.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
They fill it up with ice. They fill it up with all these beers. Hey, all right, here you go. Oh, you want a couple drinks? We're going to glug, 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 glug. Like, they made some good drinks. Hand them to me. All right. I felt like I spilt half the drink on the way to you, and then I got to you, and there was still, like, meniscus. So I'm like, all right, we're right. We're okay. I thought I just spilt half the drink. I'm like, I'll
still
just drink
bubbling
this.
Over.
Screw it. So, y'all, and then the food line. Here's the thing with the food line. You walk through, what you do is you walk in and you have to walk through the entire food line, and there's stuff just sitting out. You don't order a burger, you just pick up a burger, right? And they got the pizza burger, they got the cheese balls, they've got a million other things in there. But it's all labeled. It's like 25 cents for this, $2 for this, $1.50 for this. And you're like, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. You walk out, you've got an armful of food, and it's $6. And you walk back just to piss off your friends. You're like, look, I got all this food. We got to eat it. Oh, damn.
Damn it. Well, that's like what Cone was saying on the collab cast in the motorhome there. You know, it's like his kids went up to the counter and they bought everything that was in that particular concession stand. It was like $30.
Right, give me one of everything. Okay, $30. You could sell the place out for $2,000 and have every beer and every piece of food. It was
a super cool experience. You know, we've talked about how like it's in our agenda now as fans, especially after starting this podcast, that we're going to hit a new track every year, but Eldora is going to have to pop up pretty
recurring,
because that was just, it was too much fun. And really, I mean, thanks to our friends Julie and Mike Bosley.
I was going to save that to the end.
It was very easy.
I was going to save it to the end for a very special shout out, a very awesome, special, super shout out to Julie Bosley and Mike Bosley for hosting us at the track. And they were like, take a shower in our shower. I didn't do it. Well, probably to the chagrin of the person next to me on the plane flight back.
Well, yeah.
I did not participate in that. But
me either.
Oops. They're like, yeah, come into the bathroom. Come in. Yeah, we got the AC on. No problem. Here's a campsite for you and everything. Lab traffic guys brought us a. Brandon brought this tent that sets up
magic
in like, yeah, it's one of those out of the cartoons where you kind of like throw it up in the air and poof, it's a tent suddenly. Yeah. It's almost that. That was really cool. This was the culmination, it felt like, of all of what we've been doing for a while here, Sherwin, which is 2 years of running a podcast, meeting new people, making great friends, and all coming here to Eldora and making that happen. It gives me the all warm and fuzzies, you know?
It was definitely a culmination is a perfect word, not to just, I mean, my brain's going 90 miles an hour. I got a ton of things to say, and none of them will come out of my mouth, but this was the first time we really got to combine everything that we're doing on the podcast and on Twitter and engaging people at racetracks. Like, this was a real culmination. We got to meet and greet with a lot of different people. Cone, NASCAR Chasm, Lap Traffic,
yeah.
Brandon and Tony. We met some other guys we didn't really know but they were following us in the Twitter space.
Uh-huh.
Hi, here's the face with this account.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Jordan Anderson came out and
Lori was there. Us. Jordan Anderson was at the tweet up. I mean, we met Alicia finally.
Yep.
Alicia Dupuy and her mother, Becky. That was awesome. Jennifer. That was a good deal.
Sitting here name dropping, just having fun. What can
I mean,
say?
We're name dropping because we met them in person.
Yeah,
like,
it's so cool to meet all y'all and to get out there and see everybody, shake hands, kiss babies, all that stuff.
All the stuff.
Boy, it's so fun, and what's so crazy to me is how, once again, circling this right back around to the beginning of what we talked about with Eldora, is that we all met in the middle of a cornfield in nowhere, Ohio.
Nowhere, Ohio. Like, it doesn't even matter. It's not even actually Rossburg, y'all. It's New Weston.
yeah, my hat's
Rossburg's just the closest place that has a post office. You know what I mean? Like, we were out in the sticks with our brethren.
Right, right.
Well, and we were all from everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, Julie and Mike came from Columbus area, but Brandon and Tony came from Detroit. Lori came from Columbia, South Carolina. We came from Atlanta, Georgia, obviously. Ms. Helsius came from Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Julie actually flew there to ride down with her. So, I mean, like,
crazy.
It's awesome. I mean, you know, NASCAR Chasm comes from Indianapolis, which is fairly close, but there was people there from Chicago. Like, it was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and here's the thing, the price, even if you don't, you know, have the friends and stuff to get you tickets and everything, the price to go, the price of admission, the price of stay and stuff is so low that the price to get there is just offset by all that. There's not a reason anybody shouldn't go, is what I mean. If you go to your local NASCAR Cup race, then you can afford to go to Eldora, even though it might be a plane flight away.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. So that brings us to the big thing, dude. Eldora not being the big thing is kind of crazy, and I wouldn't have predicted this. But I've been thinking about what to say about this, and I think I have figured out what I wanted to say, which is we started this podcast as a fan podcast, as a, okay, two fans of NASCAR. We talk about NASCAR enough. We've talked about this story before, but, you know, we've talked about NASCAR enough that, hey, why don't we just do a podcast? I don't see any fan podcasts out there. There's a few now, which is great to have all these other folks in there. But we just wanted to talk about racing as fans. And I think the one thing, and so I said I knew what to
say. Spit it out, Rusty.
Yeah, I said I knew what to say. We've met a lot of media folks, and we've been working with a lot of media folks, and we talk with a lot of the media guys, and we always ask everybody, hey, what's your favorite driver? Well, I just really love the sport. And I feel like you and I over the last 2 years have gotten to where we really love the sport. We really have made this transformation from being fans of NASCAR to really being fans of the sport and trying to be ambassadors, if you will, of the sport in terms of, wow, this is really fun. I want to tell everybody that I know about it and broadcast it on the internet. However, this past race brought me back to being a fan of a driver and being a fan like we started the whole thing, which is, you know,
all
both
the way
of
in.
Us, once again, unapologetically Casey Kane fans. And what I'll say is there is no joy that being a fan of the sport, quote unquote, can give you like when your race car driver wins the race.
Yeah. So I think what I put on Facebook was, and I haven't been on that thing very much lately.
Mm-hmm.
But what I put on there was, I said, I cannot describe what it feels like when your driver hasn't won in a really long time.
Yep.
And then he wins, and then you have to figure out how you're supposed to behave or how you're supposed to feel the emotions because, I mean, one of the reasons why we're doing this is we're, you know, we have a lot of passion.
Mm-hmm.
For what, you know, happens in this sport. And that all started with being Casey Kane fans.
Right.
So it's like, and you see all the things happen. You read everything because you have to.
Yep.
You read everything on Twitter. You read all the articles because you have to know.
Yep.
And you have to set aside your fandom so that you can objectively speak about it.
Right.
Or answer questions about it.
Right.
But in that moment, in with that 11... moment. 13 laps to go, whatever it was.
Oh, 13 laps to go, I was fixing to barf.
I was too. You know, in that moment, you get to just go back to being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more special than that. Kind of like, oh, well, we had this really crappy football season 2 years ago down on the flats.
Yep.
But we had this, like, most miraculous moment in college football that year.
Yeah. Oh, goosebumps.
So why not just... Why not just enjoy that moment for what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we did. And so I just was so happy that not only did I find a place that had a television that got the race, I had a willing bartender and a TV that wasn't taken in the first place I walked in.
In Manhattan, by the way. Sherwin's
in
Manhattan, New York, watching NASCAR race.
I watched the race.
Props
to that. And if it had, I got to watch most of the race. I think it was lap 16.
Mm-hmm.
When I got him to turn it on because of the rain delay,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was going to miss over half the race the way it was scheduled between landing at 2:30 and it taking an hour to get from JFK to Manhattan in a car. Like, I was going to miss it. And then he said, oh, we're not going to go back green until 4:49. I walked in the door to the Dillon Irish pub at 4:45.
Booyah.
And I was like, this TV doesn't appear to be taken. Can you put it on NASCAR? And he said, no problem.
Booyah.
In his best Irish accent because it's real.
Because it's a real Irish pub. And here's the thing. Sherwin didn't have audio for that race. He was watching it on, you know, just with his eyeballs, just watching the video feed. And at the end of that race, it was, we didn't know who would... If Casey had crossed the line, you know, there's all this drama that I'm not even going to get to in this because obviously, once again, we're fans. But on whether or not, you know, they should have thrown the caution before he hit the line and stuff. And I get all the pieces. The end. Let me explain it this way, y'all. Let me explain it this way.
You fixing a mansplain?
No. It ain't gonna be mansplain. I'm gonna fansplain this.
Fansplain
this. My dad always grew up a Georgia Tech fan, all around Georgia fans in his family and everything else. And he taught me one thing. He said, son, I do not care. When Georgia Tech plays Georgia, I do not care if we win, if we cheat, if we get a bad call, if something crazy happens, if 12 of their guys get hurt and now we're just playing second string or third string or fourth string. I do not care. I just want to beat Georgia. I do not care how it happens.
Right.
If we cheat and get caught later, but it's still in the books, I do not care. I want to beat Georgia. So I do not care how Casey Kane won the freaking race. He won, and I'm so happy about that.
You play to win the game.
So you know, all that stuff happens, and it's a question of, well, when did they throw it? Did they throw it when he did? Blah, 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 blah. And Sherwin doesn't have audio. He's texting me, dude, what's going on? Dude, what happened? Dude, did we win? What's going on? And I'm
going,
I was
that frantic.
And I'm texting him back, and I'm going, not sure yet, not sure yet. And then suddenly they say, yes, he won it. And I'm texting Sherwin, and I misspelled yes like 14 times as and I didn't care. I'm just still typing yes, yes. No, it says test. It says fess. I don't care. Yes, 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 yes. Just send. Go, go, go. And I just went insane. I could not sit down for it was at least half an hour. I haven't had, again, that sports feeling, you know, that feeling that you get right there as a fan of sports. You know, we had that when Casey won in front of our eyes at Atlanta, hugging each other like this. Come on, you know,
yes,
that was insane.
Yes.
So what can I say?
Yeah, I think we've told that story before, but yeah. So when it was coming down to the wire at Atlanta, I'm staring into turn three because that's the only place I care about. As long as Casey's running the bottom in turn three, he's going to win the race.
Yeah.
And you're grabbing me because you're watching him go around.
Oh, yeah. Hub, I was going to say, I pretty much like, had like all like four limbs wrapped around Sherwin like, come on.
And I'm just, I've got an ironclad stare at turn three because I know when I see that five, that blue five car.
Dive the bottom.
Dive down that we're going to win this friggin' race.
Friggin' race, yeah.
That was that feeling. I was like, when I saw him go into one, and Brad hadn't cleared him yet, I was like, I know who's coming out on the other side of this.
Uh-huh.
It's just a matter of, are we going to have to line him up and do this again?
Right, right. So, yeah. What can I say, guys? Cheers. Cheers, man.
Cheers to the Anderson Valley
and y'all,
Wild Turkey, whatever this is.
Cheers to the PTM Posse, because after that, the number of people who tweeted at us, guys, y'all have been hanging on for so long. You've been fans for so long. You deserve the. It really felt vindicated or just, I mean, it's not like, yeah, screw you guys, I win. It was more just like, wow, it's really cool that the PTM Posse and other folks are going out of their way to tell us, you know, congrats on that one and how excited they were for us, for me and you. I mean, get a little teary-eyed, man.
that meant a ton.
Yeah.
And what it meant is, I think we have done, while still maintaining a very high level of fandom for a particular driver.
Yeah.
We've done a very objective job of discussing what we feel about NASCAR and putting that just on the shelf. It's there. There's always a five in the corner. Always,
yeah, yeah.
Right now. But I think we've done a great job. I think we've shown how passionate we are as fans, but still can back away a little bit and just start talking about the sport, diving in, which is what we wanted to do all along anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, everybody that reached out and said congrats or, you know, I know you guys are happy, like, yes, we were really happy.
Yeah.
But you know what? It made us even more happy for you to give that feedback.
Right, right.
And know that that's where we're at.
Somebody asked, did you flip your couch? And I'm dead serious, by the way. My wife stood between me and the couch because it's a new couch. And she's like, no, don't flip the couch. It's new. I'm like, okay, jeez. How about the table? No, that's new, too. Golly, why did we get all this new crap? I need something old to flip over.
Exactly.
What can I say? We got to move on from that.
Yep, we got to stop fanboying.
I did pick Brad to win that race, and there was nobody in the last two laps that I was rooting harder against than Brad Keselowski.
We were caught in a hell of a conundrum there because I was thinking the same thing. I'm watching this and go, well, clearly one of these things means more to me than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yeah. I mean, Brandon and Tony, when you listen to this, of course we want to beat you in the picks, but not at the expense of our favorite driver winning the race.
Oh, I'll go Ofer.
I mean, we won anyway, I think. Or I don't know. Maybe the average finish didn't shake out. I can't remember. But, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hell of a race weekend. I put up a poll, and I said three words. The only one I remember is the one that won, and that's the one that the word that I chose was perseverance.
Yep, and that, you know, they showed it. They showed Casey. I don't know how the other drivers were feeling or whatever, but just talking about that race, Casey gets out and essentially passes out. Not like eyes closed pass out, but like sits down next to his car and was like, "That's all I have. That is everything I have." So really interesting to see that, and you know, oh, these guys aren't athletes. You know, that's that straw man that I pull out sometimes. But
this is not going to be the analogy people want to hear, but it's the only one that to me is appropriate in terms of the way a competitor can compartmentalize what it is he's trying to do and how he does or doesn't feel what his body's trying to tell him. You know, it's Michael Jordan scoring 60 points with a flu in a playoff game. You know, it's Casey had to win. He knew he had to win. He had a chance to win. So he did everything he possibly could, which means for the last two laps, he probably didn't breathe. He probably just drove the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Steve Letarte talked about it on NBC NASCAR, their daily show, their weekly, their during the week show. He talked about Jeff Gordon, when he was crew chief for Jeff had a note. Like, when they would go through, here's the race notes. Like, we have a show sheet. They had a race sheet. He would say, you need to remind me every 50 laps to drink because I will forget.
Oh, okay. That's good.
That's how intense these guys are.
Yeah. If I had somebody doing that for my golf game, I would be way better at golf. Like, dude, keep your head down. Dude, swing through the ball. Like, if I had somebody telling me that, I might actually, you know, score decent.
Might be fun.
Every once in a while.
Right? You might have a good game. So, yeah, the amount of intensity these guys approach their job, we don't get to see that because we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never know. Like, who was it, McMurray, that posted his heart rate stuff the other day because somebody was continuing to be that jackass about drivers not being athletes? It was like, dude, his average heart rate was like 148 for 4 hours.
Yeah. Like, what do you want? And
what
he's
else
an athlete
do you
already.
Want from me?
Yeah, like, and he's an athlete already.
You know, I mean, he finished 22nd against professional bicyclers.
In a
100-mile race.
So Lori Sutton says that she's a Georgia Bulldog fan. Now, Lori, everybody has their faults. I understand mine. You can understand yours.
Right. We can Occam's razor this thing right down. Right.
It's all good. Very it's all good. We can point. Still be friends, you know, just at arm's length. Now, I'm just having fun here. No, that's cool. If you want to be whoever, all I'm
we
saying
have
is,
Georgia fans that listen to the podcast.
Oh,
I don't
crap.
Think we detract to them
well,
that much.
Not anymore.
I mean, but so they, I think the ones that are listening are the ones that understand that, you know, we're not here to like sell them down the river.
Right.
We root for our stuff. This thing always started as a fan podcast. We're not going to all of a sudden like be, what is it, anti-partisan to MLS. Just because we're doing a podcast.
Right,
Atlanta United is our team. The Braves are our team. The Hawks, the Falcons,
that's right.
And the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and Casey Kane. And then, you know, down the road, Chase Elliott probably for me. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why I didn't have a closing argument there or
well,
closer for that.
Let's
discussion.
Move on. Why don't we? We'll just change subjects completely. If you fast forwarded through all of our Casey Kane fanboy stuff, then stop right here. And Sherwin, tell us about that T-shirt you got on, because that's pretty awesome.
Well, I won't get too deep into the specifics, but basically it amounted to John Wood just being a country boy, riding by one of these like antique like things you see on American Pickers, or whatever. And there's this gigantic like metal rooster, like somebody has sculpted and painted. And, like, he sends out a tweet that says, and I can't even remember who was in it, but it was like, if y'all retweet this 1,000 times, I'm going to buy this thing, and I'm going to give it to whoever. They're going to stick it in his yard or whatever. You know, it's kind of like a gag or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he got, like, 1,000 retweets in, like, 2 hours. So he had to go buy the damn thing. He was tweeting, like, real sarcastic about it. He's like, I had to go rent a damn truck. I don't even...
And so, like, he's been deep. If you guys recall when we spoke with him at the podcast that we did from Atlanta Motor Speedway, he's been deep into figuring out this merchandise thing because, like, Ryan Blaney's a thing now.
Yeah.
And the Wood Brothers are a thing now.
Yeah.
And they really had never monetized the merchandise side of it.
It's where all the money is, too. Or I say all, not all, but
yeah, there's
sponsorship
some.
And then there's merch.
Especially if you control your own merch. If you don't, that's a different story.
Good
We've
point.
Been talking
good point.
About the fan tent and all that crap.
Back to the cock on your chest.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah, the cock on my chest. So a few days after all that goes down and he gets the rooster, he delivers it and everything's good. He's like, well, I can find another way to monetize this.
Yep.
And so he just gets out his crayons and he makes a picture of the damn rooster. But what he did with it, and this is why I really decided to buy the shirt, is that every cent of profit from the shirt sales is going to Victory Junction Gang.
Oh, that's
the Petty's.
Cool. That's cool.
You know, their camp for kids that have cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
So that I thought that was worthy. You know, like, I always turn down people that are in the moment, say, here, give it to my charity. And I'm like, look, here's how it works. Over the course of a year, I'm going to give mine.
Right.
I'm going to do my part. I said, but it's going to be something that really stirs my heart.
Right.
Is what I'm going to give to. And this felt like one of the right things to give to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've got the rooster at Wood Brothers 21.
Wood Brothers.
I love how.
Tweeter handle down there.
I love how crayon it is.
it is super crayon.
It's fantastic. That's a great shirt, a great cause. Love that thing.
And
so.
It's really soft. It's nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Awesome. So they didn't skimp on that side.
No, they did not at all.
Well done. So. What do we got to say? I mean, there's more stuff that happened this week. Junior signs on with NBCU. He might be doing more NASCAR work down the road.
Not even, yeah. I mean, he signed with NBC Universal and not NBC Sports or NASCAR on NBC
mm-hmm.
suggests that they are very interested in him doing more than just NASCAR, which I think is awesome.
Yep.
And he did all of his NBC stuff this week in a suit.
Oh.
Whereas, like, he would normally do it in a T-shirt.
Yep.
He did it in a suit.
Okay.
Like, he's already trying to prep. You can tell he was reading a prompter. Like, he had prepped what he wanted to say.
Yeah. Going to 30 Rock.
Not that it was canned. It wasn't canned at all. But he was, you know, he's getting in the mode. Like, he's getting ready.
Right.
Like, I'm going to do this. And the one thing I like about it is they're not going to kick anybody out of the booth. They're just going to add Junior. So mm-hmm. it's still going to be Rick Allen and Stevie Letarte and Jeff Burton and Junior.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's good.
Excellent.
And they're not going to let him do Xfinity because he's a team owner. I think that's the right decision.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we'll see him in NASCAR. I would bet we would see him in the Olympics in some capacity.
Well, that would be super cool.
Anything that's going fast, like sprinting or bike racing,
you know,
I think we're going to have Junior's going to be involved.
When I think of that, you remember, I mean, this was back in 95. When Jeff Foxworthy did his special that included the Olympics
welcome
coming to Atlanta.
Welcome all you dang foreigners from other nations.
And y'all, the welcome y'all that I do at the beginning of the podcast
is
a tribute to one of those jokes that Jeff Foxworthy does when he talks about the rednecks that you're going to have. Oh, you're doing the Olympics in Atlanta? Oh, what are they going? Welcome y'all and y'all you dang foreigners from other nations. That's
there are
going to
be guys in the parking lots when they release those.
Yeah.
I got a white one.
Please, Lord, prepare these people for the butt whooping they're about to receive.
I think Rusty and I could probably both recite that album.
Right, right. Yeah, and so
released
that.
right around the same time the Olympics came out.
So I should say that if you're saying that Dale Jr. might be a part of the Olympics, that would be the greatest thing.
The Clampets go to Maui. That's what we're going to get.
Clampets go to Maui sort of stuff.
They stole ashtrays while we were moving.
Piggly Wiggly bags.
That's an Alabama suitcase.
So, that's really cool. We had a couple races today, dude. Trucks at Pocono, Xfinity Series at Iowa. Iowa?
Owl.
Yeah.
Owl.
Up
there in Kenny Smith country.
Yes, sir. And so for those folks who weren't following along on Twitter, we had the Tailgate Mayor Takeover. As you probably know, Sherwin does the 99.9 9 probably percent of the tweeting from the PTM podcast handle. And he said, Rusty, I'm not going to tweet this race. You're going to tweet this race. Oh, okay. I guess I'll do that. So I
noted personality change, as everybody has probably seen.
Yeah. So,
which is good.
So hopefully, you know, if you go back and you look at those tweets between the time that Sherman said, all right, signing off, and the time that I said, all right, Rusty, signing off, then those are all for me and having some fun on the Twitter box there. Having a good old time and interacting with folks. And I think we got like 3-4 new followers. So I'll take credit for those, Sherwin.
You should. You should absolutely take credit. Although two of them already unfollowed, but that's okay.
No, don't tell me that.
No.
It's, you know, pump up my ego.
No, actually, yours are still there.
Hey, all right.
Yours are still there. We had popped up to like 2852. And then two rolled off. They must have been like those fake ones that like get suspended and all that weird
happens on
marketing Twitter.
Ones,
such
whatever.
A weird thing.
Twitter's a deal. What can I say? But let's talk about Xfinity, because I didn't watch trucks, actually. I was out.
Yeah,
about.
We'll just say shout out Christopher Bell. Nice work. The odd thing, or I guess predictable thing, really. I mean, not to pile on. Like I said, I think I get accused at times of piling on Kyle Busch, but you and I have typically shown him a lot of respect on this podcast.
More than probably...
Maybe even more than is warranted.
Yes. I shouldn't say he is deserved. But more than what is warranted in the Xfinity series, more than is warranted is a great way to put that.
Yeah. So the driver of the number 24 truck kind of pinched him down in the tunnel turn. And then I guess probably what the drivers will call it is they get in the bubble where like you get sucked in. Like mm-hmm. So he hit him. And there was nothing Kyle could do at that point. So Kyle didn't finish the race. And when he pulled down pit road to take his truck to the garage, the grandstand was hollering.
Right.
Like,
we're talking about
they were happy.
Trucks at Pocono at this point.
Trucks at Pocono.
Yep.
So anywho, Christopher Bell, who drives for Kyle Busch.
For Kyle Busch, yep.
He wins the race. Kyle Busch wrecked out in the 51, the rowdy number. And two laps later, after they restarted, the 18 also wrecked out in a very similar fashion. So, good result in the end for Kyle Busch Motorsports in terms of the 4 truck. Not a great company day, because they got two tore up ass trucks.
Yeah. But they got some money.
I'm sure they can afford it.
They'll figure it out.
They'll
be all right.
They'll sort it out.
But did the Xfinity Series at Iowa. Ryan Preece dominates. I don't think those three words back to back to back. Or maybe the phrase Ryan Preece and then dominates, maybe the two word/phrases back to back. Anyway, I would not have thought I would have said that when I woke up this morning.
Yeah, so I don't know much about Ryan Preece. I've heard his name before. But one of the things I was seeing happen during the race, and then, you know, like on the Twitterverse and then reading stuff about him or whatever, like I always got like to read stuff. He's a guy that's earned every step of the way, and so this is a big step. He's not running a full circuit this year, and so this is a big stepping stone for him to get this win.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people will say, see what can happen when Cup regulars don't run the Xfinity race, and it's like, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great we have this new winner. He can move on with his career, whatever's next for him. He probably can sell a little more sponsorship now. But in the end, he didn't beat any Cup regulars. So I don't. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to. Yeah, I mean, hands raised on that. That's just a comment. I'm just throwing a dart at the wall.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Although, I really enjoyed it. Even during the Tailgate Mayor takeover of the PTM podcast or the PTM podcast handle, I was saying, hey, props to the sponsors of this race. The sponsors of these drivers and the fans that showed up to say, hey, look, we're here, and there's not a single Cup driver here.
Yeah, that was great.
And that's fantastic.
From that perspective, I'm all in. Yeah. I mean, give me a big old sandwich of that.
Yeah. And, I mean, same goes for Eldora, right? I mean, we're at Eldora. That's a special thing in and of itself. The people, the sponsors, the fans, everything at Eldora, but same thing goes for Iowa. So here's 2 weeks in a row, if you will, or a week and a half, whatever.
Yeah, 5 days.
Hey, look, we can hold our own if we're doing something.
Or, yeah.
if we're doing something special, and we can do something special every week because look at the series that we are. You know, these other series can do something special every week. They can make every week special.
They could.
The local dirt track makes every week special. Hey, we're doing Demolition Derby after the freaking race. Or, hey, we're racing
school buses.
Yeah, school buses. We're doing something stupid. I don't care.
Or the boat pull.
Yeah, the boat pull. The figure eight.
Figure eight boat pull.
Yeah. Love that. Or the one that I always talk about at Dixie where they did the driver's side does the wheel and the passenger side does throttle and brake.
Gas and brake. Yeah.
Holy crap. Yeah, that stuff. That's I feel like they can hold their own, and it doesn't have to be gimmicky necessarily like the driving and throttle brake stuff, but because Eldora's not a gimmick. Iowa's not a gimmick. This is real racetracks. No. We're racing at. What can I say?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with whoever said it first. Not that whoever said it first has to get all the credit, but these tracks we're going to that have age on them, boy, they certainly put a better race on during the day than they do at night.
That's true. That's true.
So I don't, as much as I love night racing, that's something NASCAR really needs to file away in the yep. folder of what yep. do we review in the off season is how many of these night races do we really need?
One thing I'm going to go back to through Eldora, through Iowa, whatever, that we've kind of hit on this a little bit, but we've talked about before. No, everybody talks about it though. Like, oh, they should, you know, and you hear this like kind of as the masses come in and say, oh, we should do Cup Series at Eldora. We all understand. Hopefully, if you've been listening along, you understand why that's not really a thing that can happen anytime soon, or Iowa can't really happen anytime soon. People like Tommy Joe Martins that come on the show and explain to us, here's why that's not possible with the current
situation. Right, and that's why with the handle I try to be is, like, let's talk about reality. Like, if we're going to have a debate about what we're going to do that's going to be interesting, let's be realistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you go to one of those places and you go, this is what NASCAR needs. NASCAR needs it because... What would you rather see? A quarter empty track at another mile and a halfer that has this TV contract that goes back 5 years that blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Or would you like to see some freaking fans of racing pile into nowhere, Ohio, and into this track and just fill it up and have a ridiculous. This isn't a weekend. Again, you know, I'm going back.
It was a Wednesday night.
It was a Wednesday night. Like, I had to take time off work.
Yeah, we took vacation days. Yeah,
vacation, you know? Like,
well, and so wouldn't you want to, one time a year, do that at Hickory?
That's where I'm at with the Cup Series.
Bowman
is like,
Gray.
I know I've heard people just kind of the cross-eyed, we should do this everywhere, you know, but it's like, actually, I know he's not a super informed person who's saying that, person being the conglomerate.
The collective.
Yeah, the collective. But they're not wrong. We maybe should do something like this.
Well, I think every series needs to have their one thing that's really different.
And Daytona ain't it, y'all.
And Daytona is definitely not the F it.
Right.
And we'll leave that rant aside. But, no, I think it would be great if...
Darlington's becoming it, by the way.
It's getting real damn close.
Yeah, Darlington's becoming it.
Throwback, that weekend seems to make sense for that part of the country and the people that want to come into it. Obviously, it was not
including ourselves
for Atlanta. It works for Darlington, and that's great. Speaking of which, I think Lori said she would get our tickets for us if we wanted to do that. But I think you and I talked about... Maybe hot passes on Saturday? Something
that's
like
possible.
That,
possible.
So, yeah. That's, I mean, but so what do we do for the Xfinity Series? What can we do for them that's different? I mean, they obviously race Darlington, but that doesn't feel like it's.
But, I mean, we got Iowa. We've got like Mid-Ohio.
They have Mid-Ohio.
Mid-Ohio? I'm pretty sure I said Ohio.
Yeah.
They have Mid-Ohio.
It's the same.
They have
Crescent State.
Montreal. They have. They need to go back to Mexico.
Yeah, they don't have Montreal anymore, logistics nightmare, but they do have Mid-Ohio, and they do race at Elkhart Lake.
Yep.
So they have three straight road course weekends, which is really
cool. Really cool.
I mean, they go Watkins Glen, Elkhart Lake, Mid Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is cool. Mostly because we've evolved into, you know, road course racing is pretty damn awesome.
It's pretty fun. It's
certainly more exciting than a race at Charlotte.
Another mile and a half.
I'm not convinced the Roval is the way to go, but we'll see what happens next
year. Yeah. So, that brings us to some SPETM questions. Mick Rose at GoDucks42_Mick, who's been all over the Twitter and everything. I mean, he probably always is, and you know, I only noticed it because I did the Twitter takeover thing. Anyway, would you like to see more NASCAR stars racing at the local short tracks? And is there any negative to the racetrack when they race there?
So for me, I think the only thing that would concern me about, I think it's a great idea because I think the home track feel means that the star does come back and show his face or her face.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I would be concerned about for the people that are racing local and they're doing it every week and they have a commitment to being local and racing their local and supporting their local stuff is can we have a budget? And I don't know how you would
That's what I was going to say, too.
I don't want to see a star come in and spend three times.
I was going to say, he just drops 25 grand like it's nothing, and that's an entire, I mean, that could be an entire year's worth salary for somebody, you know, that's there just trying to make the race or whatever.
Yeah, so under the right conditions, yes, I think it's a great idea. Under the wrong conditions, it's the worst idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where I'll harken back to the, you know, at Eldora when they had the Prelude to the Dream, and they brought all the Cup guys in to race at Eldora, you know? I say all, but they brought Cup guys, they brought everybody. Anybody who wants to race this that is top-tier racing, come on in, spend all the money in the world to make car you want.
I learned more about this.
I don't know too much.
Yeah,
so, I learned enlightened.
I'm not sure which podcast I listened to, but it was very enlightening. So the reason why the Prelude died is not only, I mean, the pay-per-view buys were going way downhill.
Yeah.
But the reason why part of that, like the other half of that deal is that the big teams, the big powerhouse dirt late model teams were being asked to prepare a second car. And, you know, just for a one-time cash spend.
Yeah,
and it was taking them away from preparing the car for their guy that runs weekly. That's and tough. So they were basically losing, like, a lot of money. You know, it was...
Makes sense.
It was Cone who kind of clued us in on this.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you, Orange Cone.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just... It was becoming... I mean, it was not profitable for a super late model team to field a car for a Cup driver to run the Prelude.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it just that and the fade of the pay-per-view buys, because, I mean, it happened right... You know, everything happened at the same time as the economic downturn. And I think we have plenty enough content today that I'm not going to get into it. I want to get into, because people ask me about it on Twitter, I have a theory about where we're at in terms of attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And how the graph looks.
Yep.
We'll get into that in another podcast. To me, that may be an 11 to 12 minute rant.
Sure.
Not rant.
I want to hear it, actually. Yeah. That'll be good. But to the question, would you like to see more NASCAR stars racing? You know, that's yes with a star next to it, I think, is what we're both saying.
Well, Larson doing it is different than if Denny went and ran a super late model at his home track, Salem or Winchester or wherever that is, because he would, or Chester, Virginia is where he's from. It would be different if he went down there and kicked everybody's ass every time he did it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the allures of these guys going down and racing is that a lot of times they get beat.
Yeah, yeah. How did Eric Jones get a ride?
Yeah,
you know, for
right
or
right.
Yeah,
Eric, and so if you don't know, by the way, Eric Jones got his ride because he beat Kyle Busch at the Snowball.
Right. So think about specifically to us maybe. We hear that of course we would. Chase Elliott is going to race at Dixie Speedway, and he's going to race a big
super
block,
late model.
Yeah, super late model or a big block or whatever.
Or open wheel mod.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dixie. We're going.
Yeah, we're going to go. So is that good for the Speedway? Absolutely. it depends on what he brings, who you know, who he's working with and all that. I don't here's the thing, I don't want to see him win by 10 carling, or not by 10, but like half a lap. You know, I don't want to see that. That makes for a boring race.
I don't want it to be painfully obvious that they overspent
right.
what the race purse
right.
warrants.
Right, right. So, I don't know. Bring IROC back, damn it.
You know what? There were some That's of those races that thing, were but fun, but, you know, I think
I
those
them.
Certainly would have been a lot more those races would have been a lot more fun at the short tracks than where the, I mean, they typically ran them at Daytona, Talladega, Atlanta.
Yeah,
They did run at Richmond, I believe, which is I think the only short track they ran them at.
We're right at an hour, so let's
figure out
thrust
how we're
forward
gonna
here. Stock Car Live IT at Stock Car Live ITA. What's a worst NASCAR centric movie?
I can't answer this question because I don't have one.
Yeah, I mean you have to line up all the NASCAR movies, which are all things
I
that
still
I enjoy,
haven't seen Stoker Ace,
and then put one at the bottom for whatever reason.
I mean, a lot of people want to pick on Talladega Nights, but it's like, hey, that's a National Lampoon movie. Do you understand what they do?
And so that's that. It's what I was going to say was, listen, I as a NASCAR fan enjoy Talladega Nights because of what it does, because of the poking fun and the jest that, yes, what you're doing is very difficult, but here is Ricky Bobby like making up five laps at Talladega. On his first race after eating a sandwich, or you know, or after the guy decides to go eat a sandwich. Like, that's so impossible that then you can enjoy the movie because these are the rules that we set forward, that we set forth in this world. You can make up five laps at Talladega.
Well, you have to understand right? what lampooning means.
Right. Yeah.
Off the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can enjoy it.
But then there's a lot of people who might think that, oh, well, Ricky Bobby's supposed to be making fun of all the NASCAR. Well, I mean, in a way, yes, but the fact that again, he makes, I keep saying five laps at Talladega. It could have been 10 laps that he was down, and he made them all up in one. Like, that's so outrageous that, okay, well, these are the rules that we're playing by, so that's kind of funny now the rest of the movie based on the absurdity of the rules that there are. But if you try to take that even the least bit serious, in that they're trying to degrade NASCAR. No, you're wrong. And if you chew Big Red, then F you.
And F you. Yeah.
So I think that one has a lot of potential to be bottom if you take it the wrong way. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So let's gas it up. And I'm going to play our gas it up because we haven't done it in a while. Here he is.
Driver, start your engine!
Because that is Pocono.
Yeah,
that he did that.
That's now we right.
I usually use that for the picks, but I decided to start it for the gassing it up section here. Pocono Part 2, it is. So I don't know what else to say. I mean, Tricky Triangle, Ryan Blaney, et cetera, et cetera.
Last time we were here, there were big things happening for NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Blaney winning in a Wood Brothers car is big doings for NASCAR.
Yeah, yeah. And you remember however many years ago it was now with Joey Logano winning there? It seems like all the what wins. Chris Buescher a year and a half ago wins at Pocono, you know?
Rain.
I mean, rain, but same thing with Joe. Was that Joey's? Was that the rain race that Joey won too?
No, like, that was New Hampshire.
Okay,
his rookie year.
That so his real. Like,
no, he legit
quote unquote
won
real
the,
win.
Yeah.
Was Pocono
legit?
So it's always kind of eye opening. Oh well, Blaney, Oak, Buescher, Joey Logano back when Joey Logano was probably who Ryan Blaney is right now. So what can I say? I don't know. I don't know what to say. We just raced here like 45 days ago, so whatever.
If it was even that long.
Yeah. I think it was like June 11th, something like that. So, Sherwin, let's do some picks. Who you got?
Okie
or maybe
dokie.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. We're not going to pick the same guys. So.
Yeah, probably not. Well, golly, he's available.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to take the pole sitter.
Do it.
Kurt Busch.
Well done. Strong there. He's won. He won what? Three races ago there? Four? Or did he? I may be
wrong.
That
sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, like within the last year and a half is what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure you're right about that.
Yeah, so, Kurt Busch, great pick. I've already said his name, like, twice now. I'm picking Joey. For some reason, I...
Qualified third.
There you go. For some reason, I feel like Joey at Pocono is a thing. And I believe I picked him in Pocono a month and a half ago, whatever it was. So if he doesn't like finish well, then I'm gonna stop making Joey and Pocono a thing. But I feel like that's a thing. So
I want to really quickly. I want to read you the top 10 qualifiers because there's a couple of interesting things in there.
Okay, I read that they qualified on the same day? Like they're qualifying tomorrow. I thought they were qualifying later.
No, they qualified early this morning.
Okay.
So. Kurt Busch, Daniel Suarez, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, Landon Castle starting seventh from Iowa.
Okay.
Eighth is Jimmy Johnson. Ninth is Dale Earnhardt Jr. Tenth is Miss Danica Patrick.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Casey Kane starting 29th.
I'm not trying to call super BS, but this says that. The qualifying is on Sunday, just before the race, and I thought I had heard that. So, could that possibly
be practice times? Oh,
I'm reading the order. Okay.
Total bed poop.
Oops. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Only because they said it during the race today. They were like, hey, guess what? You're blah, blah, blah. Or, we're doing the qualifying right before the race. So, like, oh, crap.
Oh, well, I may have to repick.
Still, so you got the first guy going out.
Evidently. I need to read better.
I have the third guy going.
I don't read good.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So, no, fantastic.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We're going to have a fun race. I'm looking forward to it. That brings us to Strange with Stang. You ready to do this?
Why not?
All right. So, we had the collab cast. I can't say that three times fast, especially after a couple of these little deals here. That's fantastic. All right. If Brandon of Lap Traffic, so shout out to Lap Traffic, Lap Traffic Podcast, and them hosting us as well, along with Julie and Mike Bosley. But Lap Traffic,
can't
they were there.
Enough.
They brought the rental. They brought the rental trailer, not trailer, but motorhome.
Airbnb motorhome.
Yeah, the Airbnb motorhome. They brought that. Here's a funny thing. He said, I think it was Brandon who said, oh, yeah, they gave us like 2 hours a day on the generator as far as like you know, this is what's included. We ran the AC last night for 12 hours. I was like, oh, God, who knows how much that's going to cost. But, hey, that's awesome. Y'all stay cool. Y'all stay good. I'd love to hear what the final, like...
The final tally on the
tally,
hours.
Yeah. Are they charging you, like, 20 an hour? Is it like, all right, $3 an hour, screw it. You know, it doesn't matter. Another, you know, whatever, how much that costs. But anyway, if Brandon, Lap Traffic, and suppose he were arrested... At the border crossing at the Detroit River, what would the scenario be? I think that's the that's
well
the
we have and so background history here is, you know, when Brandon and when we would have been kids, so to speak, you could cross the border right there in Detroit into Windsor, and instantly the drinking age becomes 19.
Right. He's talking about that. Yeah.
So clearly. Drinking's involved. I mean, that was understood,
right?
Because that's what we do anyway. So I think he's probably trying to get back into the States.
Right.
But he's actually already pissed off the Canadian side of the Border Patrol.
Okay.
By maybe being a smartass because they wanted to look in the trunk.
Okay.
But he's doing it from the passenger side because he's responsible.
Right. Yeah.
So that's I think that's where I'm at with it.
I was gonna say, like, let's suppose the trunk of his car holds 18 cases of beer.
Okay.
He got stopped and arrested at the border crossing because he was trying to bring 19 cases in.
Right. There's that one sitting in the back seat.
In the back seat,
not
or-
quite covered by a.
Or,
shirt that's too small.
Right. Or the trunk just couldn't quite hold it, so they just used a bungee cord. Screw it. It doesn't matter.
He needed trunk arm.
Like, sir, I need to see the what's in your trunk.
The
it's held by a bungee cord. Oh, crap.
Of your vehicle.
You know,
so, like, bootlegging. That's
yeah,
where
yeah.
you're at.
Bootlegging.
With.
Yeah. I would go with
bootlegging. So we'll combine it. He the reason why they get inspected is because he's a smartass. The reason why he gets arrested is because they were bootlegging.
There you go. There you go. Y'all, we thank you for hanging out this long. We've BS'd. We've done all this stuff. It's time to bring up Sidney Lett. Let's close this thing out. Sherwin, everybody knows where. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at PTM Podcast. Every once in a while, you might see the Tailgate Mayor Takeover Show.
Woo!
On the PTM Podcast now. Facebook, PTM Podcast. Instagram, PTM Podcast. Y'all know where to go. PTM Podcast Patreon.com/PETM. Think about that, y'all. And think about getting in there, donating all that money straight to sponsoring drivers this year. And, follow our handle at PETM Podcast. Follow me. I'm Tailgate Mayor at Rusty Wallace.
And I am at Pregame Engineer Andrew Sherwin.
And, it's been a blast. It's been fun. No script today. Having a blast. We'll talk to y'all next week. We're going to figure it out. We'll talk to you next week.
Woo!
See ya. Let's get out of here.
Song.